Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hey Mason, did you know that on July 1st, Yahoo domain renewal pricing increased to $34.95 per year?
$34.95 per year? No way! Ridiculous! That's not a deal at all!
You're right, it's not, and I do need a deal.
You need a deal? I got the deal you need, Andy! Check this out! Transfer your domain to GoDaddy for as little as $6.99 and get a free one-year extension plus guaranteed renewal pricing. GoDaddy.com makes transferring easy and offers loads of extras, including hosting, a 5-page site builder, and much more. Oh, yeah! Plus, as a listener of MuggleCast, enter code MUGGLE, that's M-U-G-G-L-E, when you check out, and save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions do apply. I want you to see the site for the details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Today's podcast is also brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. What are you listening to after today's episode? How about a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up? Log on to www.audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast today for details.
This is Professor McGonagall welcoming you to all to MuggleCast, hoping you enjoyed. Dobby, come here. Dobby!
Yes, well, I'd just like to say how very pleased I am to introduce MuggleCast to all of you. Thank you.
Because game shows, surgeries, travels, oh my! This is MuggleCast episode 158 for September 15th, 2008, looking into the future. All right, we did it. We came back with another show. And some of you guys thought we weren't going to do it.
I didn't.
I did. Oh. I knew it. See, it wasn't so bad of a wait, was it, audience?
No, it was great. Love you guys so well. Oh, they're going to get the pitchforks on and
it's awesome. You know, it's been about a month now, and a lot has happened since we were last podcasting. Micah, you've been sort of keeping track since you are the MuggleCast news anchor. What's been going on with all of us?
Well, you know, it actually has been a lot of different things going on. I don't think you could possibly put together a more random list of stuff than I have right here. But one of our co-hosts moved over to England, be it for a short period of time.
Who is this person?
No, he's giving all the hints first.
I can't reveal that. You guys have to guess.
It's a game.
Okay. Speaking of games, one of our co-hosts was a contestant on a nationally televised game show. I guess they're trying to move on with their career a little bit. one of our co-hosts went under the knife.
What?
We'll talk about that a little bit later. And another one got their own personal trainer. I don't know who that was, Andrew, but...
Smart person, whoever that was. He's trying to stay fit.
And one of them went to a screening of the sixth Harry Potter film.
What?
Yeah.
But it's not coming out till July.
I know.
What?
How does that happen? I don't know how that happens.
And one of us went to a live Harry Potter podcast that wasn't MuggleCast.
Repeat, not MuggleCast.
Dun, dun, dun. So we'll let everyone try to figure out who matches up with what, you know, event. In the meantime, it's just us three for right now. Laura will be joining us later on, and we're gonna call Eric. His computer's not working, so we're gonna give him a call and talk to him about which one of those, I almost spoiled it, which one of those he was involved in. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
And I'm Matthew Britton.
All right, so before we get to the news, let's reveal all of these. Which one should we reveal first?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious who went to the screening of Half-Blood Prince.
Yes, yeah. That was Eric, of course.
Of course, Eric. If you have any type of web, face, MySpace, Facebook, sort of Twitter-ish.
Or just go on MuggleNet.
Or that.
Yeah. We'll call him in a bit to figure out what how the hell that happened.
Yeah.
How about the game show? Who went on the game show?
I believe that was me.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, I think so.
Ah, yes.
You. Oh, yes, that's right.
Ah, it was this one.
Yeah, it was that one.
It was The Price is Right. Matthew Britton, come on down.
Oh, my gosh.
You're
oh
the next
gosh!
Contestant on The Price is Right.
Oh, my gosh.
So we went on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. And we got the interview process. Just real quick story. Went through the interview process. And Matt and I were there. And John, our
Noe.
Friends, John Noe and Bree Bishop. And we were all there. And we all got interviewed in a group together. And, you know, we came out of it feeling really good. We were like, we both did really good. Mm-hmm. You and I in particular. Even
yeah.
John and Bree were
well,
saying
well, because
that.
Because we knew when they were going to interview us, we had to be really, you know, enthusiastic and
yeah,
really
yeah.
personable.
We
and
were.
Stuff.
We were all over it. So we did really good. But unfortunately, we can't tell you the full outcome. But... Matt didn't get picked until the very end, the very last round.
Yeah.
So you can sort of gather what happened from there. But
it was so much fun. I mean, because you really can't hear yourself.
Yeah.
You can't hear them call your name.
Yeah, so they wrote it on a big piece of paper and they flashed
and
up.
And I got to take the piece of paper with my name on at home.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
That episode will be airing November 5th. So if you want to see Matt... get called down, and you'll see me in the audience flabbergasted when that gets picked, and also John and Bree. If you're looking out into the audience, we're in the top left corner. We were all the way in the back corner,
literally in the back, but it's right where the big Price is Right sign is.
Yeah, so you'll of course see us when Matt gets called down. So anyway, in other news, one of us, the personal trainer, that was me. It was only for a couple weeks, but I am going to the gym now. I'm going to be more active in my life.
It's good.
Micah, thank you. Which one were you?
I was the one who attended a podcast that was not MuggleCast.
Oh. Why? Why? How could you do this?
Well, you know, it was. I think it was like a Wednesday night in the city, and it was after work, and I figured, you know what? I know PotterCast is in town. You know, Sue, John, Melissa were all there, and I hadn't seen them in a long time. I think it had been
sure.
not since the J.K. Rowling, which is like a reading, I think, at
in October.
Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
So it had been quite a while since I saw them, and it was a good opportunity to go listen to them, hang out, and it was a good time.
Cool.
Good. Cool, cool.
And Laura was the one who went under the knife.
That's right.
She had to have a little surgery, unfortunately, but she's all better now. She's
yeah.
all good. And was that it? Oh, no.
There's one more.
What was the other one, Micah? Yeah.
One of us picked up and moved to England. I guess that kind of limits the remainder host to choose from.
Elisa.
Elisa, yeah. She's now...
at Oxford.
She's taking
school.
A semester at Oxford in England.
Mm-hmm. And funny story, her roommate was actually a girl who came to see us at Portis.
Really?
But it was completely random. Like, they didn't, you know, sign up together or say they want to be together. They just happened to be picked together to be roommates.
Yeah, right.
And it's just...
How does that
she's
happen?
Stalking.
I mean...
Elisa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Monford.
It's crazy, and there's a picture of them together from Portis on Facebook. But that was crazy. So,
and what about everybody else? I mean, what about Jamie and Ben and...
Jamie's getting a job. He's getting
a
job because he needs some money, so he's getting a job there in the UK. Ben's back at Notre Dame, and I think that covers everyone. So that's what's been going on with
what's
us.
What's going on with Kevin? Do we know anything about Kevin?
Kevin's at school.
No, Kevin's got a job.
Oh, Kevin's got a job.
Yes.
Right.
He has graduated.
Oh, yes. That's
of course Kevin graduated.
I'm living in 2005 still. Well, so that's what's been going on with everyone, and we hope all of our listeners have been doing very well as well. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like MuggleCast. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/MuggleCast to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, go to audiblepodcast.com/MuggleCast for your free audiobook. And there's been a lot of news over the past month since we've last spoken to you. One of the big things, and there was actually a Muggle mini-cast about this, which was Micah and Eric, Alan Horn issuing the statement about the Half-Blood Prince delay.
Uh-huh.
So I guess what are your guys' thoughts would probably be the best question to ask, because you can listen to 35 minutes worth of Eric's and my thoughts, but mostly Eric's thoughts on the on the Muggle minicast.
Well, Warner Brothers actually tipped a couple of the fan sites off beforehand because they wanted to get this announcement up online as soon as possible. Because as everyone knows, there was this huge fan outrage. I think it was stupid. Well, okay, when someone from WB called me, they were like, "Yeah, keep an eye out. I'm going to be sending you a statement from Alan Horn soon." I'm like, "Oh, geez, if they're letting us know about this beforehand, this must mean they're doing something for the fans." You would think, because why would they warn us beforehand?
Yeah, it's definitely something big.
Yeah, so that's what we thought. But, you know, then we get the statement. I think it was stupid. If you know, this is just an apology. It's just adding more fuel to the fire.
Right.
There is nothing in the statement that could calm the fans down. You know, if I may offer a little silver lining. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was stupid. They shouldn't have said anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you on that, but there was this one statement that he said, like, "We care about our Harry Potter movies," or something.
Fans.
We care about the fans. Yeah.
What?
We care about the fans.
No, they didn't say we care about the fans. They said we care about the movies, not the fans.
No, they were talking about the integrity of the films and trying to do the best they possibly could with them. And I think there was also a part he referenced... Harry Potter fans as well. Let me see if I can
Please be sure that we share your love for Harry Potter and would certainly never do anything to hurt any of the films.
Right.
Yeah. So the statement was just worthless. We shouldn't really spend any time on it.
Well, I just wanted to go back to what you were saying about the silver lining, because I thought that was the worst part of the entire statement. I felt if he had removed that line of the silver lining, where he says that
silver lining is a shorter wait from this movie to Deathly Hallows.
Right. I thought if that sentence was left out, the statement was fine. It was overall, like you said, an apology first and foremost. And I just don't really think it did anything for the average fan. It was great that he came out. He made a statement. He's the president of Warner Brothers. You have a very high official doing that because of the situation. But what does that do? Having to wait now, what is it, maybe more like 10 months, but even still, nobody's happier about it after the fact.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't make anybody feel reassured at all.
Yeah, just really, I mean, disappointing. Then there's that other news that the pushback decision was made about 3 to 4 weeks before they made the official decision, which was August 17th. So they had made it between July 17th and August 17th. And just, you know, whatever.
I wonder what made them want to change it. I mean, if it's something that happened 3 to 4 weeks before, why? I mean, what sparked
it? They realized that The Dark Knight was making a ton of money.
Right.
Because that was right after The Dark Knight came out. So now that's almost the top grossing.
Why can't they just say that? I really don't get it.
Like, well, that comes
up. The whole Alan Horn statement just dug WB into a deeper hole.
Yeah. Anyway, well, no. It dug them a big pile of money. The whole Dark Knight thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about hatred from the fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think at this point, now mid-September, I think everyone is relatively calm.
Yeah, well, because we accepted the fact that there was really nothing we can do except wait another 10 months.
Yeah. So, speaking of Half-Blood Prince, Micah, what was our big surprise among MuggleNet staff members?
Well, the big surprise would be that Eric actually attended a screening of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince last week in Chicago. And it was also attended by David Heyman and
Alan Horn.
Alan Horn, yeah. you know, it would be interesting to know kind of the interaction that took place between Eric and somebody like Alan Horn. But I don't really know if he spoke very much with him. We can ask him, I'm sure. But kind of wondering what went on between him and David Heyman, because he said he did have a conversation with him after the film was over.
Well, how about this? Let's find out. Let's give him a call. Right. All right, here we go.
I care more about that than than what he thought of the movie.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, Eric.
Hey.
Hey. We're recording MuggleCast.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm gonna be on MuggleCast?
Yeah. I know. It's a first for you. So we just started talking about the screening, and I guess we'll ask you a couple questions about it, and then, you know, you can get into your whole big thing. But first of all, I think what everyone has been asking is, Eric, how the hell did you, out of all the people in the world, out of all the people in the wonderful city of Chicago, end up seeing this movie?
Well, if that's what everyone wants to know, I must assure everyone that it was random. I know I got a lot of emails myself too, saying, "Oh, sure, it was random that you just happened to see that." But no, really, the story is, I got an email from movietickets.com, which is where I buy my tickets. You know, I buy my tickets online.
Mm-hmm.
Before going to the movies at the movie theater, which is where they had ended up having the screening. So through whatever demographic diagnostics they ran, I was one of the guys they sent an email to saying, there's the screening of a movie. It's expected to be PG-13. They didn't say what it was. So you have to call an RSVP. You can bring yourself and your guest. And I was like, okay, that sounds interesting. I didn't know what it was going to be. No clue at all. So right. I called up Kristen. I said, "Hey, you want to go see a movie this Saturday?" And she's like, "Sure." So I called them, gave our name and our age, and then we basically got. They said, "Fine, just show up, print this thing out, and show up in the theater." So
I think
it was completely random.
I think in the past, what they've done is they actually just, like, if people are walking in the movie theater, they are like walking on the street, they just pull them aside and like, "Hey, we need help screening a movie. Can you help us out?" So this is a new high-tech way.
There's that, too. Someone next to us in line had seen Tropic Thunder the previous weekend, and then they got pulled aside. So it was kind of a variety of different ways they got sort of people to show up. But they certainly didn't have a shortage of people. There were a couple hundred there. I don't know if they had to turn anyone away, but if you RSVP'd online, you can get turned away. But there were tons of people in the theater too, and we didn't know what it was going to be. And that was actually the shock.
Is
because we heard them saying that the demographic was 14 to 17-year-old girls, and so
Twilight.
They were looking for people.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought. I thought it was going to be Twilight.
Yeah,
we were sitting in line, and the girl in front of us had this Twilight button. I don't know. Maybe you guys will get a kick out of this. It said, what was it? Breaking Dawn. I was bitten
took
by
my
Breaking
breath away
Dawn.
Or something.
I was bitten by Breaking Dawn.
Okay, yeah.
I was bitten by Drake. So we're like, okay, this is probably going to be Twilight.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be cool because it was still a month away for right. that. So we went in the whole thing thinking it was Twilight. And then, you know, turned out to be David Heyman was walking up the side. And yeah. I had seen him on, was it the Goblet of Fire red carpet premiere that you did, Andrew, where you were on the red carpet and you made it into iPod video and put it on the feed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I recognized David Heyman. I was like, oh, Andrew met him. I was like, oh, my God, David Heyman. So
that's when it hit you. That's when you realized this must be Harry Potter.
Yeah, I vapor locked because we were in the theater.
You
by
what?
That time we were in the theater.
You what?
Vapor locked.
Oh, okay.
I was so shocked because we weren't expecting it. You know, someone else said they heard that it was next summer's blockbuster, which was exciting. But they also said, what was the other information? That it was filmed in Chicago. So there was all this stray guesswork going on. We were like, is it next summer's Johnny Depp movie? You know, what are we thinking? But
yeah.
It kind of made sense after the light. I mean, I saw David Heyman, and I was like, wow, that's David freaking Heyman.
Yeah.
And he came and actually ended up sitting like 3 feet from me.
Nice.
So if you had decided to go to dinner, you would have been really pissed off instead of going to the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. That if I would have found out, because, I mean, you know, all different websites had gotten reports that night even that if I had not gone to that screening, if I had chosen, well, it would probably just be a crap movie, or maybe if, you know, I'm not really interested in seeing this. If I had chosen that and then found out that there was a screening in Chicago, because I did not know that they screened it in Chicago first, or because of the delay, would be screening it, you know, anytime soon.
Right. Yeah, that's the really surprising thing. A lot of people were surprised at how early that they screened it. Do you have any idea why? I mean, because a lot of people are hoping now they're going to take all this extra time to really enhance the movie and make it fantastic. So do you think that's why they still kept it, you know, screening in September?
I think it's a variety of different reasons. Number one, they wanted people to know that the movie, or I mean, I guess they wanted people to know, it's probably one of the added benefits, but to let people know that the movie was in a somewhat completed form, that it wasn't as delayed as some people were maybe speculating.
That the movie existed?
You know, that the movie was delayed because it wasn't completed, or, you know, something like that. I mean, it still wasn't completed. The CGI was, you know, not complete, all that other stuff. But I think they wanted, I mean, people will know, at least, that the movie's not in any bad shape. So they wanted to sort of maybe allay some of the people who are still angry and still very confused and worried out there. Mm-hmm. One of the other things, I think the reason is that I lost my train of thought, but I think that's definitely one of the bigger reasons.
So you get in there, they announce that it's going to be Harry Potter. What was the reaction of the audience? Like, was everybody like, oh my God?
Yeah. It was absolutely shocking. David Heyman didn't make the announcement. It was one of the associates. You know, they have these guys who don't work for the theater. They're kind of independent. I think it's Movie View, they said. It was like the website I had to go to. But it's these other guys that come and sort of organize everything. And, you know, they pass out cards and surveys at the end of the film and all that stuff. But the lights dimmed. And, you know, we were expecting Twilight. Somebody else said, wait a minute, what if it's High School Musical 3?
That's a good idea, too.
That would suck.
PG-13, really?
Like, yeah, well, we were like, we'd walk out, you know? I mean,
why? What time is it?
No. Seriously, though. I mean, when the lights dimmed, no one had any clue. And I really mean that. Some people, that leaky reader said they were sworn to secrecy, but they knew. I don't believe that for a second. I mean, I think that really genuinely no one knew. There was just, ever since the time we got in line for an hour and by the time we got in the theater and the movie started, no one knew. But the lights dimmed and the guy said, you guys are going to be the first audience ever to see the upcoming Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And
God,
everyone was in an uproar. Everyone.
That is so cool.
Absolutely. And there were plenty of adults there. There were plenty of guys I could tell, you know, hadn't seen maybe even any Harry Potter movie before. I mean, seriously, there was that. They very well managed the diverse people thing.
Yeah.
The demographics and everything?
Yeah, the demographics, they totally, and I guess that probably went into the movietickets.com thing, and, you know, they sort of browsed that database, because they got enough different people there that it wasn't, or maybe it was a good pick in the previous weekend, but they got enough different people there, and I think everyone in the audience really liked it, but we were all just so excited. And I didn't even believe it, but there weren't any previews. You know, there weren't sort of anything going before the movie. So as soon as he said that, and everyone was in an uproar, we had to immediately stifle ourselves because the Warner Brothers logo was flying by on the screen, you know, as it does. So it was like completely going into it. So
yeah.
It was just amazing.
So were all the special effects finished for the most part?
No. It's interesting. I don't know what kind of ratio I'd say, but there were scenes that were still in front of blue screen.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Some of them, which were hilarious and so fascinating. I would not actually change the version of the film we saw because because there's a scene where Dan's on the Quidditch pitch because they have Quidditch back in this movie, right?
Right.
And 10 or 15 feet behind him is this blue screen, it's this blue curtain, you know? And it's just so amazing because the previous scene, they have the CGI finished, or the previous shot or frame or angle, they have the CGI finished. So you're on the Quidditch pitch, and he's talking to the team, or tryouts, I think it was, and he's talking to them. And then all of a sudden, there's this shot where he is still, you know, mid-sentence, but there's a blue screen behind him, and it's not off-putting or distracting. It's the fact that the actors can do that without seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the
film process like that. And certain other scenes were finished. I won't, you know, give any spoilers away, but, and then other scenes were not. It's just bits and pieces. It was really interesting.
It's a real, I would have said it's a real shame if all the special effects were finished, because, like, you know, then, like, the movie's ready to go and you could totally put it out. But it's actually kind of good to hear that they're not finished.
Yeah.
It's not like a
waste. Yeah. No, it is. And that, that's probably what I was trying to talk about that I forgot about. But having the movie, I mean, if you think about it, they would have had to have rushed to completed this deadline had they not known that it was going to be pushed back.
Right.
That it would have been, you know, seeing the state of the movie is in now, they would have needed to complete a significant amount of things, I would say, to get it out on time. I'm not saying they couldn't do it, but the movie was still a bit in pieces. And I think the extra time does give them, as you said, Andrew, that people are hoping that they really take into account what people think and
change
the movie up a bit. Yes, Micah. Who else is on the show, by the way?
It's just Micah, Matt, and I. For right now,
cool.
Laura will be joining us later, I think.
Yeah, a lot of the reviews that were out there were very negative. Yours was a little bit different. It was positive in nature, and it also kept away from, I thought, spoiling too much of the movies for the fans. I thought it kind of balanced that really well. But I'm wondering from you, was there anything that stood out to you more than anything else that you were really happy about for this film?
That I was really happy about?
Yeah, because from other reviews that I've seen, they haven't necessarily been the most positive about the sixth film.
And that's very true. Truer words cannot be spoken at this present time, I'll tell you that much. And all of these, it just upsets me. Because when I saw the movie, and I wanted to talk about it, and I wrote up that review that's on MuggleMed, and I didn't want to spoil anybody. I wanted to give just my absolute true happy impression of the movie. And then all of the other reviews were not only spoiling, but completely negative. That were ruining complete scenes and nitpicking and just doing all these horrible things that I could not, in a way, respond to without losing a deal of the quality of what I was trying to do. And it just upsets me that so many people are just angry about all of these changes and sort of how that whole thing transpired is very upsetting to me. But overall, I was happy with some of the changes they made, namely, first of all, I was most happy with the characters. They spent a lot of time, I think, or they showcase a lot. I mentioned in my review that Hermione, that Emma Watson for the first time, jumps out as being my book Hermione in a way, which has never happened to me before. You know, usually the sidekick lines Ron and Hermione's lines are changed if different, but seriously, in this movie, you just get a lot of good characterization among the trio, And you can kind of tell, I mean, I thought they were building up sort of for a movie 7 sort of thing, because they'll be focusing on the trio for obviously a great deal, and uh-huh. it just shows how well these actors have grown up and can still work together and still really kind of get into their characters, and I was happy with that. One of the changes, I think, since, I mean, many people have been spoiled, I won't spoil it except to say that the second Semper scene is in the movie, and not only that, but it's a battle scene.
The battle scene.
It's a duel.
It's a battle scene. It is a battle scene. I will say that because a lot of people, I mean, are making other spoilers that are that they're angry about.
The jerks.
I know those jerks. No, it's a battle scene. And what it means is, what I mean by that is that Harry and Draco, you know, Draco isn't just crying and then all of a sudden gets angry that Harry's in there and throws a spell at him. That it actually is a little bit more elaborate than that. And Tom Felton, my God, they give good time for him, and you know he does a good job. And mm-hmm. this is his last chance to, obviously.
Well, Eric,
but
yeah. I have a question about the reviews that I've been reading, and I mean it may be a spoiler, so we may have to cut it out later. But do they cut the entire battle scene at Hogwarts? Because I've read two reviews that say they cut it completely.
The battle at Hogwarts is not in the film.
Oh. What? Okay. Well, maybe we shouldn't go into it. But.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to know because I didn't know if they were going to do it or not.
Yeah, but I'll say this to ease your conscience, too, that it's interesting, too, because you're probably thinking, well, without a battle scene at the end of the movie, how is the movie anything worthwhile? How could they stay true to the books the way I claim they have in my review? How does that sort of happen? But I really think they did something really good with it, and it's so interesting that I'm so positive about it when they missed that scene. Something else I'll say, if we're being spoiled and cut out or whatever, Dumbledore's funeral, a lot of reviews are saying that's not in it. They didn't have the Dumbledore funeral scene specifically, but my thoughts on that, while we're at it, is that they didn't introduce enough of the characters in the world in the movies, that it would be completely pointless to have all the characters of the world at the funeral. You know, I just don't think that would be anything feasible, anything worthwhile, considering how closed the movies have been.
Mm-hmm. But, Eric, despite all this, you believe that this is worth the wait.
Yes.
Yeah, I strongly do, despite mm-hmm. all of those little nitpicky discrepancies. What they've done is they've really created this movie that flows well, that... Oh, and Jim Broadbent as Horace Slughorn is a surprise joy. Is a surprise joy. I was hooked from the first 5 minutes, and he's a surprise joy in throughout the whole movie. It works well with him. There's some slug cub scenes at work, and I was surprised with how many things from the book are in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Surprisingly enough,
well,
the
Aragog
scene is in the movie.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Eric, since this is David Yates' second film for Harry Potter, what would you say is probably his – what do you think he
– Do you think he's improved?
Yeah, yeah. What did he probably improve on most since the last movie?
I think he improved, and I do think he improved quite well. And, and it's interesting because he wanted – in the last movie, I remember reading an article or hearing an interview with him where he wanted to focus more on the characters. And I just think that he's done even better now. And as for camera techniques, too, a lot of people didn't like the montages in movie 5. You know, that during the DA scene, they would sort of go through the montage of it, and it having been a few months later. They don't use that technique at all to pass time in this movie. This movie is overall not done like that. I'm not going to say not fast-paced. I mean, it's not because it's not slow-paced either, but you get to know, you feel that a year is progressing, and that maybe is done the best out of all the films now, is that that the movie progresses in a really gradual, not to say speedy way, that all the scenes that happen are just very true to the characters, they're enjoyable to watch on screen. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say to to my whole analysis of the movie, is that it was enjoyable to watch. And I did enjoy the story as if I had never read the book. And then from having read the book, I enjoyed what I saw that I remembered from being in the book.
Good.
I'm really glad, Eric, that that people who have never really seen or read any of the books will enjoy this movie. Is that what you're saying?
Interestingly enough, well, that's what I'm saying, but also the other thing is that this movie caters to the fans, which you're wondering, how can things be both? But I really think this movie, like, I say it's great for people. I say it'll be enjoyable to watch for people who've never seen, but even more enjoyable for the people who have read the book, because a lot of those things, like even the line about knitting patterns, Dumbledore liking the knitting patterns and such, that's in it. And it's oh so funny to watch Michael Gambon say that. Michael Gambon does a great job in this movie. All of these inside things and all of these other things, they don't cut corners as they have in other movies, and they don't go out of their way to make sure that the outside world knows really what's going on. Mm-hmm. They've sort of gotten to the point where they can say in the story, and this might be what they have to say, but look, this is what's happening with the story. They didn't need any kind of extra thing about Horcruxes. This is just what's happening in the story. Cool. This is the movie. This is the story we got to tell. And a lot of those scenes, I think, are tailor fit for the fans' enjoyment, for the book readers' enjoyment.
So would you say that they compensated with these smaller, more intricate little plot points? You know, they compensated with that after having cut out some of the scenes that you've mentioned. Do you think that they were trying to compensate in that way by saying, oh, we're going to have to really change, say, the Battle at Hogwarts, say, Dumbledore's funeral, so what we're going to do in turn is give the fans something that who reads the book, so they're going to know, okay, well, this line was used, or this particular scene was used, or this particular item was included. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I'm going to say that no, they didn't say that, because what they found through making the movie is almost, I mean, the movie doesn't lack Dumbledore's funeral or the Battle of Hogwarts. It's just kind of a different, like, I wasn't looking for it. In a way, I wasn't looking for the Battle of Hogwarts to happen or Dumbledore's funeral as much. I think what they've done is they have these scenes which are so wonderful for the fans, and I don't think it's made to compensate as much as it is in line with the story that they're telling and the movie that they're making. It's,
yeah, but
while it's true that some of these scenes don't get... Sorry, what's your question?
What I was going to say is oftentimes how they tell the story is what the problem is, and it has been in the past with a number of criticisms that the other films have received. So what I'm getting at is seeing some of these negative reviews, and I hate to dwell on that, but is a diehard Harry Potter fan going to go in? Can you see some of these fans going in and being disappointed in the film based on what you've seen left out?
It'll be very interesting. If the fans can get over themselves enough to go see the movie, I will be more than interested in what they have to say about it. And I mean, I know in a way that there will be people that do not like this movie, just as there are people who do not like movie 5, which I like. And there are people who love movie 3, which is more than I can sometimes say. And, you know, I know that there will be people who see and dislike the movie for the scenes that are missing. But having said that, I think that anyone who got into the series through the movies will have automatically more respect. And I think that anyone who has ever seen these movies as a separate item will in fact be impressed with how much of the book was brought to the movie despite these big scenes being cut.
And what about, just to follow up, as far as plot points are concerned, you know, Horcruxes is one thing that comes up a lot in the reviews. Again, did they do that justice?
I think that they did. I think that they did. But they'll probably have to deal with it, obviously, more in movie 7 when they have to find, you know, the rest. Mm-hmm. But, and it'll be interesting to see the how that happens in the movie as opposed to the book. Because the book at that point, I think book seven towards the end is very, you know, linear but rushed almost, that they find out things in the order that they need to because they don't have any more time to really do anything. But in this movie, there are scenes, and one of the scenes I would have liked to have seen in the movie, I think, is the Gaunt House scene, which was not in the film. There are only a few Pensieve scenes, and that is not one of them. But I, with the movie being what it is, there is a terrific balance, and the movie's dark enough. And that is one point I tried to make in my review, that the movie is very intense as far as impending doom, and it's really interesting with how they balance that with all the hormones and all of the snogging going on in the book, which, you know, many people who talk about book six will say there's either too much snogging or too much Voldemort stuff. Mm-hmm. So this movie has totally, I think, found the balance, and David Yates as a director has really connected with that adolescent sort of vibe. And Dan still looks like he could pull off a 16/17-year-old, I think. I mean, it's still good in that aspect. Tom Felton looks a bit older, but you're just happy to see him in the movie, so that's good. You know, he gets good screen time. So overall, yeah, it's really just interesting. And I mean, I could talk about this movie, but I just basically enjoyed it, and that is something that I'm having to come to terms with in light of all these negative reviews.
Well, Eric, this has been very informational, and we thank you. The fans thank you. You've done the fandom justice, and we all appreciate that. We're glad to see you like the movie, and we're glad to hear that you believe it will be well worth the wait, the extended wait.
Yes, the extended
And here's hoping you get to see Deathly Hallows, too.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I did want to talk about, if I could bring up a thing before I leave.
Sure.
I got to meet David Heyman, David Yates, Alan Horn, one of the representatives from WB, Mark Day, the film editor, and David Barron, the other co-producer with David Heyman, on the movie after the movie.
Was Alan Horn kind of...
The show?
What?
Sorry?
I said, so when are they coming on the show?
So was Alan Horn afraid of anyone, you know, giving them a good punch, giving them a good old 1-2, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Andrew, I got to say that's not funny. Because to be perfectly honest with you, no. And don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad.
I don't.
But to be perfectly honest, we spoke with the Warner Brothers people, and they were, to be honest, it's a bit sad, I think, for our fandom, knowing that so many people at WB have received actual death threats. I mean, think about...
That is sad,
Think about the fandom actually, like, saying, oh, we're going to send so many death threats, or we're going to storm the gates of WB, and then think of actually receiving a death threat in your email inbox from someone you've never met, from someone who is old enough to have the means to make that sort of thing happen.
Yeah, that's very scary, for sure.
They receive those worldwide, and that's not cool. To that, I shame the fandom. Mm-hmm. I mean, not for being angry.
That's definitely something that they should expect.
No, even if death threats.
No, seriously. They should. For something this big, they should expect something to be extreme, even though it may not happen.
I'm sure they expected a big outlash, but I don't know about death threats.
Well... This isn't the first time that something like this
has
happened.
Can you see them sitting down in a meeting and being like, look, guys, if we do this, we're going to get death threats.
No. If we do this, we're going to get a huge flack. And they are. I mean, it may get a little more than they anticipated.
Yes.
But they should have expected.
It's a bit more. I mean, in all the history of Warner Brothers, to think that this, I mean, you guys, let's speak candidly here. You know how crazy some of the fans out there are. But to actually, I mean, that's all I'll say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's got to be scary. But so, no, Alan Horn was there, and they had all seen the screening, and they were all, I think, very pleased with the feedback they got. They got a lot of, they sat for a session afterwards, plus all the surveys we were filling out afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I want to talk about. The surveys were very detailed. They mentioned, first of all, in every question, they urge you to be as specific as possible, which may just be standard, but they were asking things like, what scenes do you think move too slow? What scenes do you think move too fast? What were your favorite actors? What were your favorite scenes and least favorite scenes?
Were they general questions, or were they like tailored? Were they like, what did you think of Slughorn? Or were they like general questions that you hand out at every movie screening?
No. It wasn't, and that's what they were tailor fit.
Okay.
They were absolutely tailor fit. I can't think of many more specific questions, except that they really did. There was a lot of room for total explanation, and also a lot of guiding where they could get your feedback even if you didn't be specific.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit overall quite interesting. My favorite scene was the Felix Felicis scene in the movie, which is great. Next to the cave scene, which I quite enjoyed. Meeting David Heyman afterwards and David Yates was a really good experience, and I shook their hands. I even hugged them. And I just assured them, you know, I said, I like the movie, and, you know, hopefully, and they said, you know, great, because we really did try to make this a great film, especially for fans. And they said that Joe Rowling had seen about 20 minutes of the movie, and she said what she always says, which is, but she said this might be her favorite film so far. which is important to mention, but yeah, it is. It is important to mention. So Joe thinks this might be her favorite film ever, and the film editor and everyone were there, everyone was there. So everyone did want to see what people thought and were very interested to the core of their soul on what people thought. So I thought that was really fitting. I thought that was very great. They were all very nice people, all very grateful to hear all that. But so, I mean, I sat with, or I stood with them and spoke about some of the things that I was concerned about. But basically, I think overall the final product's going to be great. And it was just such a pleasure, because I hadn't made it to the red carpet for me.
Yeah.
I was getting a Mickey, I believe I was getting a Mickey Mouse for somebody last Goblin of Fire.
Well, I mean, this obviously is pretty big, you know. So
the gods made it up for you, Eric.
The gods, yeah, you were destined. It was karma. You do, you know, pay it forward. Pay it forward. All right.
No,
well,
honestly, so
Eric,
yeah.
We gotta go. But thank you so much. This was very informational. And
we'll
hope to see you back on the show soon.
Absolutely.
And
just let me know when the next one is, and hopefully my computer will be working.
Of course. All right. And Eric, again, we thank you. The fans thank you. I'm sure you'll get some more feedback from the fans with more questions. But just one more thing, actually, real quick. Are you sad that you can't wait till July now to see it? Or, like, you know, what's the feeling there? Because a lot of people say, like, oh, I wouldn't want to see it this early, because then what do I have to look forward to? Do you feel bummed?
Yeah, that's a good question too, and I think I'll answer that for sure. I strongly think that the movie that I see in July is going to be different than what I saw at the
screening.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm out of my mind, but I really do think that definitely the finalized version with the finalized, I don't, even the look and feel, even the touch is going to be changed and different. You know, that'll come with a completed score, which we didn't have. They had kind of in and out of different pieces, so it hasn't been fit. You know, the scenes that were cut might not remain cut, there might be more scenes that do get cut and some added in.
Right.
So we just don't know from this standpoint. So, I mean, once the effects are complete, a lot of that does change how you view the movie, how the movie feels, and, you know, I don't know how those scenes are going to end up looking in a way. The way the movie was presented to us, it didn't feel like it was completely presentable, like it was completely,
of course.
I mean, it was presentable, but not completely fit.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't like, He wasn't like, here's a completely set possible version of the movie. It, you know, that wasn't it at all. This was still a bit far away from the complete final season. And so I think, yeah, when I see the movie in July, which I will, it will be different enough that I will be surprised. Plus, I'll have forgotten a little bit by then.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, it's not really a negative thing that I have to wait even longer for new material. Say, you know, movie 7, I have to wait even longer for it than I did before. But
and you
I
know
think
what?
The movie will be different.
They'll be making changes down the last few weeks. I remember Matthew Vines from Veritaserum.com, I was in touch with him a lot around Goblet of Fire. And he went to literally, you know, the U.S. premiere, the U.K. premiere, the U.S. screenings, the U.K. screenings. And he said every time he saw it, he saw little changes. They're changing these films down to the last possible minute, you know, because there's a lot of pressure. So, yeah, I think you will be seeing it. It could be a whole new film, you know, depending on that feedback they got. But so there you go. All right, Eric.
Yeah, and now and with the extended time, they'll have plenty of time to do more screenings, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Chicago, and to answer the first question I was asked completely, Chicago was where they always do their first screening.
Yes.
That goes back to the days of the first two movies, because Chris Columbus is from Chicago, or one of the suburbs, and they developed good relations with the movie theater, and basically that was, I mean, that was, so that's where they hold their first test screening. Again, just one of those random benefits of living in Chicago and subscribing to movietickets.com.
Yeah, apparently. I guess we all will now. All right, Eric. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. This has been fun.
No problem. Yes, it has. All right, dude.
Talk all right. Is the recording going to work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got it all. We're good.
Sweet. Thanks so much.
All right. No problem. See you, dude.
Bye, Eric.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye, Matt. Bye, Micah. Bye, Andrew.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Eric Skoll, who just recently caught a screening of Half-Blood Prince in Chicago.
Yeah.
That lucky little boy.
Plenty more questions, I'm sure, that we could ask
we'll
him,
asked.
Too. I mean,
yeah.
There's so many that came to mind, but maybe people can send in their questions, obviously, and we'll have plenty for him next show as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Micah, what else has been going on in the news?
We're still on
we're
the
still
news.
Not through it. Yes, we are.
We're like 45 minutes into the show. We're still not done
that
with
was
the news.
That was the whole segment.
Oh.
That was the whole big main discussion, I guess you could say. So anyway, what else has been going on in the wonderful world of Harry Potter?
Well, let's wrap up Half-Blood Prince news first. The only other remaining piece of news from the movie actually affects the video game, and the Half-Blood Prince video game is in fact going to be delayed. And one thing that Electronic Arts reported was that it's going to be a $120 million loss for them this year. Andrew, you noted that they're going to make somewhere around $5 billion. In the grand scheme of things, is that a huge hit to take? I would argue it may be when you look at their, you know, their overall budget for 2008.
Yeah.
If they were anticipating that revenue to meet, you know, their budget, that certainly could have an effect on it. I mean, in the scheme of $5 billion, $120 million, it seems very small, but at the same time, you know, to us, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think that you know, they want to get this game out of the way and get going on the next one. Because they're real passionate about these Harry Potter games. I mean, it is a studio in London that works on these, so it's different from, you know, EA's other big franchises,
right,
like EA Sports. And
did they mention anything about how it would affect maybe Deathly Hallows, similar to how everybody had questions? Well, now with Half-Blood Prince being delayed, is that going to affect Deathly Hallows at all? You know,
it may, but there's still a 2-year wait.
That's true.
So,
and there's probably only going to be one game. The video game is not going to be split into two parts.
Oh, yeah. But I wonder what they'll have to wait to release it, though, because you know, you can't release it the full game with only half the movie, because then half of it's spoiled. And Warner Brothers has very tight restrictions for them, you know, saying you can't spoil anything in the movie before the movie comes out. You know, that's involved in the video game. So,
well, and the thing to remember is that it's not just going to affect, you know, EA, it's going to really affect anybody else who's in the merchandising industry that was anticipating this release in November and was going to use that money towards their budget for 2008. You know,
yeah, it's important. It sucks for them, you know?
And
yeah,
I'm sure Warner Brothers probably had to take that into consideration.
Warner Brothers should send him a big fat loan of $120 million.
Absolutely.
they really should. I mean, you know. And honestly, I think if EA wanted to, they could have released it in November because it's part of their contract. Unless there's a little clause in there that says, you know, Warner Brothers has the right. But because, you know, they didn't change it immediately, so they had to be thinking about it.
And the movies are never really exactly like what the game is anyway.
Right. The reason they waited is that they want to release it with the film. However, this is what I wonder about more than anything else, is something like the video game, is the other merchandise, because that's where the franchise as a whole can be hard hit for the movie being delayed. Because yeah. People can decide, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to spend my $10 to go see the film, but I'm not going to buy any of the merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
But also, this during the Christmas season, too, is when, you know...
Exactly.
When people buy video games.
Yeah, so they would buy the video game for Christmas for their kid or something, but now that it's going to be in summer, I mean, it's just for whenever you want to buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So...
Other news... We finally received a verdict in the J.K. Rowling Warner Brothers versus RDR Books trial. Everybody's happy about that, right?
Yay! Yeah, you know, it's weird because it's like it came out and it was big news, but then it's like I just feel like there was a big leak. Hold on, let's get into the mood first.
Oh,
that's better. I feel like there was a big, like, you know, there's supposed to be a big lead up to this, and then it's, I don't know. Micah, was it big news to you?
It just seemed to come in the middle, or I guess towards the tail end of everything that was going on with Half-Blood Prince. There wasn't a lot to it, to be honest with you. I wasn't...
Yeah, it was very basic.
Yeah, the judge said, hey, look, I'm ruling in favor of J.K. Rowling and Warner Brothers in this case. And, why did it take 4 months to come to a decision? I think probably because the judge has more on his plate than just this case. And, you know, he's hearing other cases. He's writing other decisions. And that's just what happens. I mean, I was in jury duty at the beginning of this year, and I can tell you the legal process is one that takes forever. I mean, these are some of the – sorry to any lawyers or judges that are listening to the show, but they're some of the laziest people they're hardworking in the sense that, you know, I'm sure they're spending many hours when they're not in the courtroom, but lazy in the sense that they just take forever to get stuff done. I mean, the legal process, let's go to lunch, take a 2-hour lunch. You know, they milk the system for all it's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it turns out Steve Vanderark has been in the process of writing another book. And it highlights the places in the United Kingdom that relate to Harry's world.
So, like, he's trying to find Hogwarts or something?
Yeah, sort of. So that's what he's doing. And the book is due out kind of soon. I'm not sure when exactly, but it's a different publisher. It's not RDR. So that one will not... That's an actual book. That's not just copying and pasting information out of Joe's book.
Oh, okay.
So that one will be okay.
But... Was anybody a little bit surprised by his reaction at all to the ruling? I just thought it was a little bit too nice for somebody who decided to go through with this process.
Well, he also wants his book to sell. I mean, he doesn't want to be so negative about it also. He just wants it to be over with so then he can work on the next book that hopefully will you know, make money.
I know what you mean, though. Steve said... few days ago, I've always been a fan, in response to the verdict, I've always been a fan of Harry Potter and of Rowling, and my hope all along was that we'd find an amicable way to settle this. I'm disappointed, but this is the way it went, and I don't hold any ill will at all. It was a question of law over a difference of opinion, and in a way, I'm glad that it's finally over.
Right.
In a way. You should be completely glad that it's over.
Well, the big problem I have here is this the kind of response that you're going to have? Why do it in the first place? Why, you know, put it the situation, I don't know, I'm trying to frame it the right way, but why even go through with all this in the first place? You know, it just seems like a very sort of nonchalant response.
It is.
To something that you pressed very hard for.
I think it's just a happy that it's over with response.
Yeah, I think it's just something that is just saying that I just want to move on with this.
We have an email here from Susan that relates to this. It's a Muggle Castle listener, Susan. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, yay, Joe won. I was so glad the judge had the sense to be in favor of Joe, the rightful owner of the rights to write an encyclopedia based on her book series, and show that Vander, whatever, not to mess with Joe. Vander, whatever, not to mess with Joe. Though I don't hold anything against Vanderpoo. Susan, you're very mean. I can't believe he would say he was quote, disappointed, end quote, that he couldn't steal Joe's work and write his stolen encyclopedia. It doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't he feel ashamed that he even put Joe through all this? Isn't she his favorite author that he devoted a whole lexicon to? Or is he too distracted by the sadness, his sadness over his lost selfish gains? So Susan is saying there, look, why are you disappointed? I mean, I'm sure when he figured out the idea to do this book that he was like, oh man, think of how much money
I think he just make. The fact that he said he's disappointed, I think, just means that, you know, he lost.
Someone else asked, can we allow him back into this fandom again? What do you think, Micah? Matt made a disgruntled face.
Well, no, I'm saying, who has the keys to let someone back into the fandom?
Joe.
If he's never really left the fandom. If he's still a fan of Harry Potter, then he's
no. But
the
I mean, like, say he shows up at Azkitrast 2009, which is quickly approaching in July. Will fans go up and greet him and be like, "Oh my God, can I take a picture with you?"
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's not going to happen.
Micah, will you take a picture with Steve if he shows up at Azkitrast?
Probably more likely he'll want to take a photo with me. But no, I'm just kidding.
You'll say, yeah, but I need $20 first, please.
I mean, well, okay, if we see him, if any of us saw him at, like, a Harry Potter convention, would we just turn away and walk away?
Or I would hide, because we've said too many bad things about him on the show.
I think we've been, we haven't been as angry as, you know, other
outlets.
There we go.
I think the big thing that a lot of people miss in this, and maybe that's why you're saying it was more of a, I'm happy this thing is over statement, is really RDR. I think RDR pressed this more than Steve pressed it. If that makes sense. I mean, all throughout the whole trial, and when we really did that one episode where we focused solely on what was going on, we said, you know, if you look at everything that went on from the beginning, going all the way back to when the lawsuit was first filed, and even before that, it just seemed like RDR was not doing anything to be in compliance with WB or JK Rowling, that they wanted to take this to the courtroom. And, you know, they still can go beyond, you know, they can obviously file for an appeal based on the ruling, it seems like. So it may be a matter of time to see if they're going to pursue anything further.
Yeah. And let's all remember, too, that there was that clause in Steve's contract from RDR that said, look, Steve, if WB, you know, decides to take this to court, we will protect you. You cannot get out of it. So, yeah, he really had no choice. I would think, I would hope that if WB took him to court and he had the option to just say, like, look, okay, forget it. I'm not going to do this book. I don't want to face you in court, that he would have actually done that. That would, I guess, really define his position in the fandom at this point. Okay, anything else, Micah?
Yeah, one final piece of news. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone Anniversary Edition is going to be released next week.
It's been released.
Well, it's been released ahead of schedule for some people. But there's some bonus material that was promised. There's obviously a new drawing of the cover art by Mary Grand Prix. But Andrew, you know a little bit more about what this bonus material is, having gotten information from people who received the book early.
Yeah, we originally got an email from someone saying, hey, my book arrived already. And I was like, wow, that's weird, because it's not supposed to come out until September 23rd. Long story short, as it turns out, Amazon received permission to start shipping it early, so they did. They sent out emails to all the people who pre-ordered and said, you'll be receiving it this week between September 11th and the 15th. So people got their copies, and they were happy with it, I guess. But the thing was, they were the fans. This book has been promoted as having bonus material from J.K. Rowling, and the only additional thing in this book is a sketch of Snape drawn by Joe back in 92 or 93. She wrote, and she wrote how Snape looked Count Dracula-ish. So it's kind of disappointing, because it's just one thing, and people were expecting maybe like a foreword or maybe something more from
Joe.
Are
we sure that that's it?
That's it. Yep. I've gotten numerous emails about it, and that is the only thing.
Right. So,
well, I mean, it's still a drawing by J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, in our original painting. Or it's just, I mean, we've seen lots of sketches from her before. People were just expecting more. Like, why would you buy this book again?
Right. And I know on Amazon, I looked up the price. It's like $16 to buy the hardcover edition. But I was wondering, didn't we see a price? Is there like a special edition of this book too? That was selling
for... No, you're thinking
enormous...
Beetle the Bard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Beetle the Bard's going for like 100.
Yeah, that was crazy. But
yeah.
I mean, if you're a collector, then you're probably going to pick it up. You know, if you're somebody, you know, in addition to liking the series, that gets the UK edition and the UK adult edition and you know, picks up all these books from all over the world at different covers, and yeah, you know, you're probably going to buy this. But...
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, it seems a little bit disappointing in terms of value.
So people actually took pictures of the book and sent it in to us, and I actually forgot how small Sorcerer's Stone was. I mean, that book's really thin. I'm just so used to these books being so thick. Whatever, just something I thought. But so apparently it is in bookstores now, in most bookstores. So, you know, stop by, send in your feedback, and tell us what you think.
So it's actually out there?
Yeah, it's actually getting out there.
In the mainstream?
In mainstream bookstores near you.
Awesome.
I don't know, everywhere at this point, but someone who works at a bookstore actually emailed us and said, you know, this actually isn't, you know, leaked or anything. That was the suggested release date, apparently, but since people are already getting it, they're allowed to put it out.
Huh.
So they're doing it, and people are buying it and kind of getting disappointed.
Oh. Well, it's still Sorcerer's Stone. It's still the book.
Is that it, Micah?
That's it. For news.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you. Let's move on to some announcements. Hey, it's a new month and we're still a podcast, so vote for us on Podcast Alley.
It is going to be MuggleCast Meptember.
Meptember, yeah. We're number 6 right now. That's good. That's good. I'm liking it.
Isn't that great?
You.
You're off for a month, but you're still in the top 10 on Podcast
People
Alley.
Are still voting for us, yeah.
That's awesome.
That shows the dedication of our fans.
Thank
you. Thank you, fans.
That's really nice.
But, I mean, we could be higher, so feel free to...
Yeah, but
I'm just kidding. I'm just being a jokester.
Thank you.
Micah, the past few episodes, we were promoting our charity drive, Teddy Bears for Hope. How did that turn out?
That ended up turning out really well. I actually sent the money over to the organization today, and they're going to start dispersing the teddy bears, I guess, in the next couple of weeks or so. And the total amount raised was about $1,600, so that's awesome.
Wow, it's really good.
Plus,
thank
whatever
you,
we made from that site, I think it was searchkindly.org. They had a little bit of a poll up at one of the weeks we were doing this charity drive, and of course, everyone from MuggleNet went over and voted there. So I think we probably picked up another $100, so about $1,700 in total.
It's wonderful. How many bears does that equate to?
That equates to
probably $5 a bear.
Yeah, it's around there. It could be a little bit more, a little bit less. So you're probably looking at about a little bit over 300 bears.
Awesome. Yeah.
Which is cool. And, you know, we'll keep everybody posted on where they end up going and get some pictures from when they're delivered. And
yeah, that'd be great. Definitely.
Post about it on both sites. So it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
All right, and reminder, Azkitraz is coming up quickly. It's in July. It starts the day after Half-Blood Prince comes out, which is really awesome. They have some really good plans. We can't announce anything yet, but we are going to be very involved, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Imagine seeing this film with tons of hardcore Harry Potter fans at midnight.
And then coming back to a
Harry Potter
really nice
hotel.
Really, really nice hotel. We can't stress that enough. It is a really sweet hotel. And just going back after the movie and just discussing it with all these diehard Harry Potter fans.
Yeah. So it's going to be really something special.
I mean, has that ever been done before?
No. Registration is open. And actually, I don't know if we should say we should. If you register, please put in the referral area MuggleNet or MuggleCast. If you do decide to register this early, please, please, please put MuggleNet or MuggleCast. It'll help us out very much in being there at Azkitraz. So thank you. Happy birthday, Matt.
Oh, thank you.
turned 23 on September 11th.
I'm so old, Andrew.
Jamie's just, back, huh?
I just want to be a kid again.
Oh, hey, Micah. Laura, don't even start with me. I'm so old. Oh, my God.
Matt's turned 23. We're having a, I would say, little birthday party, but it's going to be a big birthday party here at the MuggleCast studio tonight.
Yeah, we got a bunch of
all day.
Got a bunch of Wizard Rockers coming to our apartment, and there's it's going to be awesome.
Star-studded.
Bring out the red carpet.
Oh, yeah, for Alex Carpenter to arrive, make his appearance. And one last thing we want to do a little teaser about before we get into the rest of the show. Mike and I are working on a new thing for MuggleNet, and since we're not doing the show weekly right now, we wanted to promote it. As everyone knows, the presidential election is coming up, so you know it's a big election this year. So we wanted to do something Harry Potter related with this election. And Micah, do you want to sort of? We'll just give a teaser right now. We don't really want to get into it too much, but
no.
What are we doing? What are we putting together?
We're just putting together a little bit of an election. We're going to have fun with this. It's going to be completely, I'm not going to say it's not going to relate in any way to what's going on in the current election. You may see some themes there.
some words.
Some words.
Like Maverick.
Exactly. We're going to get a couple of staff members involved with this and, I think we can reveal that we're going to use 8 characters with the ultimate goal of one from each party facing off in the final election. And we're going to use some cool little social networking tools and probably some other technology, audio, video to spice it up a bit. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, that's the whole point of it. You know, give people some laughs, let them enjoy what we're doing. And it's not to make a mockery of the election as a whole, maybe in a little bit of a way to poke fun at some things that have gone on, but you know, just to kind of lighten the mood a bit, I guess you could say, because it's been a very serious last couple of weeks, at least here in the United States, with everything that's going on with this election.
But so I don't know if you said it's going to be a election for the Minister of Magic.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And yeah, they're characters from Harry Potter. So we're putting together something really fun. It's going to be kicking off September 23rd, but we're going to have a formal announcement on MuggleNet.com a few days before that. So keep an eye out on the site. It's going to be a fun thing, you know, get kids involved in sort of a Harry Potter election. So it'll be fun, and we're doing some good work on that. So I think that's it for announcements this week and the news and the opening. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
It's a long show.
Oh, that was
Let's
awesome.
Let's move on to some Muggle mail that reflects on things we've actually already talked about. First one comes from Adriana. She writes, "Hey, MuggleCasters, I just have a few comments about the screening of Half-Blood Prince. First off, I'm torn between the idea of seeing the movie before the finished product. I'd want to put them again IMAX 3D. I think I'd hold out. But out of curiosity, why are they releasing the screening so close to the date that it would have come out on? It almost feels like a slap in the face. Like, haha, November 21st, just kidding, July 17th. However, you could see the unfinished version in September. Okay, I just feel we are being teased way too much. Or maybe I'm just jealous. Love the show, love the host. Special love to Matt and Andrew. P.S. I knew JKR would win."
Oh.
Thank you, Adriana. I think it's a really good idea that they're still screening it on time, because this gives them a lot more time to fix the movie and get it exactly how they like it and how the fans like it.
But isn't it a little bit odd to be screening it now? I mean, that's my only issue here. If Eric, like you said before, he was watching scenes like with Harry on the Quidditch pitch where there's blue screens behind what's happening. It seems a little bit odd to me that here you are in September and you were expecting to release this film in November, and you had your producer, you had your director saying in the interviews that the movie's complete, that there's nothing wrong with it, that nothing needs to be redone. That seems a little bit odd to me.
Well, I think they seriously considered, maybe these scenes are finished in special effects. Obviously, they slowed it down once they realized that. They had an additional 8 months to complete this.
Yeah, but at the same time, they realized this in, what, August? That they were going to, you know, delay the movie until November. The question is how much, to July, but then how much in advance did they know that this change was going to happen? You mentioned it was only 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But just the time frame's not matching up for me. That's the thing.
I see what you're saying. I think they will be doing many more screenings, you know, once they reach a few milestones, like the special effects being done, you know, the soundtrack being done, because that's all things that they have to ask people
right.
about.
But my question is, when normally would a screening have occurred for a movie that's released in November?
I think it really, right now.
I think it really depends on the type of budget the movie has.
No, actually, you know what? And this is a true story. I swear to God, I read an article back in July saying that they were going to do screenings in August, and that was before the film came out, or they announced the film delay. And I remember this so well because I thought to myself, oh man, they're screening it in August in Chicago? That's when Terminus is. I wonder if like a lot of Harry Potter fans are going to end up seeing it there. So yeah, they were definitely going to be screening it in August, but they pushed it, you know, I guess a couple weeks back to September. So yeah, I think that this is normal. But if it was
August
still slated...
August to November. I mean, August to September is, what, 1 month?
No. It was, yeah, it was probably just a couple weeks they delayed it by. I'm not saying that, you know, made any difference. But, you know, maybe they delayed it that much to get a certain part of the film completely finished. But I do think that if it wasn't delayed, the people that saw the screening, including Eric, would have seen a lot more complete, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they see it now, it just gives them all the more time to change it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they screened it like what 3 months before the movie is now going to be released, that gives them only 3 months to change everything. And I would much prefer that the people behind the movie can actually take their time and, you know, make it the way that they really want to, instead of just have to do it under the gun and have to just spit this version out that they really
right.
aren't really proud of.
And that's what leads me to believe maybe they knew further in advance that they might have to change the date because of something not being finished the way that they wanted it to be. It just
right.
My thing is, it just seems like if you're going to screen a movie now 10 months in advance, as opposed to what would have been a couple of months, something must not have been right there. Maybe I'm wrong, but... just what I said before, it's just not matching up for me.
I think with all this, I think with the film, with them screening the film this early, this really puts a lot of pressure on them because they have so much time now to perfect this, and that's what they need to do. I doubt they're going to go back and film more, so they got to work with what they have, but, you know, that could...
They probably have a whole bunch of footage, though.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if they wanted to add the Hogwarts battle, you know.
I think they already filmed
it. Or a Dumbledore funeral. I mean, God, you have all this more time. Use a little more money from Dark Knight and put it into the Dumbledore funeral. But whatever. I think, you know, this is just a lot more pressure. Now you really have to perfect it, and that's why they're starting to do these screenings so early. Next email comes from Lucy. Hi, I just wanted to say, as I'm sure others have, that it is very promising that they're screening the film now. It suggests that they will use... Actually, you know what? We don't need that. One more email today from Gregory Bosk, 20 of Newport News, Virginia. He writes, my friends at MuggleNet, as one of the premier sites for Harry Potter fans around the world, you hold a significant amount of sway in the minds of not only readers, but Hollywood producers and filmmakers. I'm a concerned fan who is enraged by the fact that the movie is to be postponed. I feel it is unnecessary for us to wait an entire 8 months for the movie to be released, when it is supposedly finished with production. Is there anything you can do, anyone that you can contact, anywhere that you can go to get things in motion? I'm sure you are all as upset as I am. We need to move into action and motivate others to do the same. We need to let these greedy Hollywood producers that it is the fans that control the market, and we demand the movie to be released as planned.
All right, Gregory.
Now,
listen, buddy, if I held sway over Hollywood movie producers, I would be in the damn movie, okay? So the idea that we have any control over this is you know,
well, you know what? Wait,
minimal.
Wait, let me get Alan Horn on the phone.
Oh, yeah, call him up. I mean, I understand what he's trying to say, but it's kind of, I don't know.
The reason I included this is because a lot of fans do think that we have a lot of power, but really we don't. And we don't want, like, people ask, why don't you post petitions and stuff like that? We are on the good side with Warner Brothers. You know, we have to stick with them. They do a lot for us, and they do a lot for us and a lot for the fans, and we have to be appreciative of that. So,
and just because we don't have the same viewpoints as a lot of the fandoms do, doesn't mean that we're sucking up to WB. Also, I mean, I get a lot of emails saying that, well, just because, yeah, okay, you have to suck up to WB. That's why you're saying this and that. But really, we have to see both sides of it. We can't just see, like, one side of the whole decision-making.
Yeah, exactly. Then we'd be Fox News.
Yeah, then we'd be Fox.
No, but Matt's right. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it was just like the case between Steve Vanderark and J.K. Rowling. We couldn't sit for a whole episode. Obviously, a lot of us favored the opinion of J.K. Rowling and Warner Brothers, but we couldn't sit there and not try and come at it from Steve's position, which we did do. And, you know, it's kind of like the same thing here. We need to see it from both sides. Obviously, as fans, we're not happy that the film got moved, but we also need to understand it from Warner Brothers' perspective that it's a business decision. And that's the reason why this film was moved. And, you know, while we can all be upset and all be angry, you know, we're not going to change the fact that right. The movie is going to be coming out next July.
Yeah. And there's really nothing more to say. I just think that, you know, I'm sorry, guys, but, you know, we don't have any more power than you guys do. So. Let's move along now. That's all for emails. Very short with the emails this week. But I just want to say that we do have a working feedback form. It's now available on MuggleNet.com. So visit MuggleNet.com to get all the feedback, to leave us feedback. MuggleNet.com/feedback. You can contact any one of us there and also, you know, send in rebuttals and stuff like that. So we'll get more emails soon. This Week in MuggleCast History is up next. And it was actually not 2 years ago, but a year ago this week that we had our 12-hour live show, which I still tell people about, and they're like, you did a live show for 12 hours? What did you talk about? I don't even know what we talked about for 12 hours.
I think you guys called me.
Yes, we did.
That was the first time I was ever on the show.
We spoke with you and Alex Carpenter.
You also ordered a pizza.
Yes, that was fun, and my number accidentally got out on the air. Or no, my address did. That was a mistake. Uh-oh. But anyway, let's play a quick clip from it, just the introduction, you know, to relive it. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MuggleCast Live. Jamie and Laura are here.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
We are live on the internet. This is our first ever 12-hour podcasting event. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the first ever 12-hour podcast.
I would agree with you.
I think that's a safe guess.
That's a safe guess. Laura's at college right now.
I am at college, dealing with kind of internet that's somewhat not wanting to work today, so here's hoping that it pulls through for me.
Well, it's holding right now, and it's actually sounding better than Jamie's connection, but not that we could do about that.
Particularly good.
Jamie, this is 12 hours we're doing here.
This is 12 hours, and I don't think we need to tell everyone that 12 hours is an extremely long time. In 12 hours, you can do a lot. You can fly from Heathrow to America twice in a jumbo jet. You can go there and come back. Also, you can go from Heathrow to New York and back twice on Concorde. You can drive almost the entire length of the UK. You can run a very long way. I don't know how far. If anyone wants to try it, please feel free. And then you can write in and tell us. You can cycle a long way. You can even walk a very long way.
All right, so we get it. Could you tell how nervous I was? My voice was so trembling. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Oh, you were going through puberty.
Laura's in college.
What's wrong with that?
How's college, Laura?
He still is.
That was very nerve-wracking. But that was a lot of fun. Mikey, you were a part of that one.
I was not a part of that. I was I was at a wedding that weekend in Nantucket. I think I called
you
guys
at weddings
at like 11 o'clock, or you called me, and I had had a few beverages, and it was the end of the show at that point. It was, you know, all fun.
So we had started at 12 p.m. Eastern on September 15th, and we went until 12 a.m. Eastern September 16th. So that was a full 12 hours.
Unbelievable.
In hindsight, I wouldn't mind doing it again. because it was a lot of fun and we actually did get through it. It's just a lot of planning.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't imagine that you guys stayed on for that long.
Well, yeah, but that was the fun of it. You know, we took like 10-minute breaks on top of every hour. And, you know, I looked at the Google Doc a couple of days ago to see our schedule. And, like, it was so bad. Like, we had each hour planned out, but, like, in some of the hours, there was just, like, one email to read. That was it. I don't know what we did the whole time. But a lot of people, a lot of our listeners that were listening actually did listen to the whole live show, which is insane.
What was the top number that you received on that show? Where did it peak in terms of listeners live?
I completely forget, but I would say probably at its peak, which is probably at the very start through most of the afternoon, probably through the night, it was over 700-800 people.
Probably, yeah.
Which is really cool that we can get that many live people at any time.
Well, so. We did well the last live show too, didn't we? We had was it like 1,500 at one time?
Yeah. Yeah. It's great doing those live shows. A lot of
we should do another live show sometime soon.
Let's go live right now. I'm ready. Let's go. It's too much.
Maybe our next show. I'm just making the shit up.
Well, whenever there's big news, that's when it's the most fun to do a live show, because that's when everyone's into it. So, moving along, we're going to play a new segment now. This is called Guess the Scene. We'll just do one so that, you know, give you guys a little tease, since Matt obviously picked these and I'm looking at them to play them. That leaves just Micah. So, Micah, if you do really good, we can, you know, it's fun for people to play at home, too.
All right.
So how this works is I'm going to play a clip from one of the soundtracks, and we're not going to tell what soundtrack it is.
Oh, it's a soundtrack.
You have to guess which scene it is.
Where in the movie this is being played.
Oh, okay.
At.
Maybe I can do that.
Yeah. So
I don't get told what movie it's from, though, right?
Right. Okay, here we go. Think very carefully. Something just happened. What could it be?
It's something about Harry Potter.
Should we give him a hint?
Sure.
I think we should. This is from Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, I thought so. It's like, it's almost like Oompa Loompas.
Oh, you're close.
Trick question.
Jeez. I'm closer than you think there, Mike.
Something
happened.
Any guesses, Micah?
Okay, you can pause it. It's a separate scene.
Oh, that's not... No.
Alright, so do you have any guesses at all?
I'm thinking like the beginning of the movie.
Like a specific scene, though.
No, I know. I can't. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, Micah. The correct answer we were looking for was when Crabbe and Goyle grab the cakes that are floating in midair.
Oh, yeah, that was right at the top of my list.
You said Oompa Loompa, so you were close.
Yeah, right. You mentioned candy. Yeah.
You got another one? I feel like I need to redeem myself.
Yeah, we can do one more.
Here.
All right, well, we'll give him a hint to start out. This is from Prisoner of Azkaban. I think you said yourself this is one of your favorites, so yep.
Me?
Be too hard. Oh. Yeah. No, maybe no. You didn't. I don't know. Here we go.
Isn't this how the... I thought that's how the movie starts. Or do I have
no?
No.
No. I'm sorry. That was incorrect. What we were looking for was the Dementors hovering outside of Hogwarts. I don't even remember that.
Huh?
The Dementors hovering outside of Hogwarts. That's,
yeah.
That's the answer we were looking for.
It's during the castle scene when it's raining outside and all the boys are eating the candy from Honeydukes.
Ah, Matt got it!
Yeah,
I got to work on my prices.
I'm the one who did it.
I know. I just wanted to play that sound effect. So that's how we play Guess the Scene. Hopefully our listeners enjoyed that. Maybe they'll enjoy it more when somebody guesses correctly.
Or when there's more of us to play.
Yeah, that's true. This may be hard. This may be a hard game. I think it kind of is.
It is hard.
Good try, Micah. You are first contestant, thanks. So it's understandable. So we're almost done with the show today. This has been a very long episode. We'll wrap things up with Chicken Soup. Micah, would you like to read it?
So this week's Chicken Soup comes from Granny. She says, I was not aware you had a MuggleCast contact problem, so just in case you did not receive this, could not call this one in. I would cry. I have downloaded your shows not only for the fun of listening to them again, lots of times you got so close to the truth and yet so far, just missing it. If I am widowed, you will be there to comfort me. If I go blind, you will be there for me. I thank you for that. And when I was going nuts between books 6 and 7, you kept me sane. When movies came out and books came out, I was part of it all because you were there. Politics aside, you will grow out of it. Not sure what that means, but I do love you all. Best regards from Granny.
That's very nice. She's a frequent emailer. And that was very nice email, I thought. Anyway, that does wrap up our show for today. We hope everyone's enjoyed hearing some more MuggleCast. To send us some parcel mail, you can always use the MuggleCast P.O. Box, P.O. Box 3151, Cumming, Georgia, 30028. You can also call on a voicemail question, comment, or listen to rebuttal to the MuggleCast hotline. Just remember to keep your question under 60 seconds and eliminate as much background noise as possible. Those numbers are, in the United States, 1-218-20-MAGIC. In the United Kingdom, 0208144-0677. And if you're in Australia, the number is 0280035668. You can also Skype the username MuggleCast. Don't forget, you can visit MuggleNet.com for a handy feedback form. It's MuggleNet.com/feedback. There's also a link where the old feedback form used to be. And you can use any, you can contact any one of us there. Or just use our first name at staff.MuggleNet.com. Don't forget, you can also visit MuggleCast.com for a variety of community outlet links, including our MySpace, our Frapper, our YouTube, BlastTheFam, Facebook, and the fan listing in the forums located at MuggleCastFan.net. You can also follow us on Twitter for the latest updates about the show, dig the show at dig.com, and vote for us once a month at Podcast Alley, which you have all been doing, so you're all very good listeners. Little pats on the head there. Yeah. So that does it for the show this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening, seriously, and
we'll
be back again soon. Yeah, it was a good show.
When will we be back?
We will be back next time.
When's next time?
We will be back next time. So to wrap up the show today, I am Andrew Sims.
I'm Mike Tannenbaum.
And I'm Matthew Britton.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next time for episode 159. Goodbye.
Bye.
Later.